It is Tuesday morning, a Tuesday morning with Ellie Weber, starting at 9 o'clock on Sefer HaMitzvot.
Okay. Morning. We are up to the mitzvah of tzitzis. Just to locate ourselves in the order that the Rambam is using in the Sefer HaMitzvot, we're in what I think the Rambam would describe as a series of four. The four being Talmud Torah, Tefillin, Tzitzis, and next week Mezuzah, which all of them are seen, the Gemara puts them together, all of them are seen as forms of signs, or things which we use to remind ourselves. I think the Gemara is a phrase, maybe we'll see it later, you know, a person who's Osek B'Torah, and has Tzitzis B'Bigdo, and Tefillin B'Rosho, and Mezuzah on his door, you know, muftach lo shelo yecheta. How could he sin? Because he has all these outward signs of God. So one of the interesting things to think about is, you know, why these things specifically represent God. I'll grant you up front that tzitzis seems to be reverse engineered. Meaning the pasuk says, as we'll see, you have to put tzitzis on your four-cornered garments. The meaning behind it, the fact that there's aid and begematria, this and that, and tcheles ramah, I'll admit to you, it seems to be reverse engineered. I mean, it could have been almost anything. You could have put a, you know, lahavdil, I'm sorry to say, you could have put like a, you know, a Jewish star on your beged, and maybe the answer is you could have, except God told us to do it this way. And it was arbitrary until God told us to do it, and then it became mandatory, and then it was suffused with greater meaning, because when God tells me to do something, it becomes more meaningful. Right. No, I don't think there's a Gemara. Mr. Wise is mentioning that the Gemara says that God wears tefillin, and what does it say in God's tefillin? Umi ka'amcha go Yisrael goyachad. Our tefillin praises God. God's tefillin praises us. I don't know of a source that says that God wears tzitzis. And somehow it's more offensive to people like us who believe that God is incorporeal. Somehow the fact that he has a head that he could put tefillin on, I could imagine.
Moshe could see the knot when he goes by.
Somehow. But
I'm obsessed. Like a goof.
Right. It's all true. Okay, we didn't even start yet. Yeah.
I mean, other than the tefillin one, they're sort of... they're not obligatory. What do you call mitzvah kiyumit? If you do something, if you have on the beged,
okay, so we have to
have a doorpost. Then it's
so we have to get to that point also, which is what type of mitzvah is the mitzvah of tzitzis, right? When if you grew up religious, you were told that wearing tzitzis all day, every day is mandatory, and if you don't wear tzitzis, you know, you're going to hell or something very bad like that, because religious Jews wear tzitzis. Turns out, technically speaking, that's not really true, except it may be true anyway. And at the end, I want to talk about how halacha develops in a way that sometimes things become the norm, even if they didn't have to be the norm, just to whet your appetites. Not that people are going to leave in the middle, no matter how boring I may be. But it is the case that clothing changed over time, and therefore the mitzvah of tzitzis changed over time. I would suggest that in the times of Moshe Rabbeinu, nobody wore the types of tzitzis that we wear today. People wore four-cornered garments, and therefore they put tzitzis on them. That's different. The whole idea that you would get dressed in the morning and go, hey, I'm not wearing a four-cornered garment, let me artificially create, you know, a mitzvah by putting on a four-cornered garment, I think that that's a later development. Let's see how that plays out. First, Psukim. Always good to start with Psukim. The Psukim at the end of Shema says, Vayomra Hashem al Moshe Lemor. I thought I made a million copies. I don't know what happened. I'm sorry. Daber al b'nei Yisrael v'amar talehem v'yasu lahem tzitzit. Tzitzit mean strings. Okay, but so you'll make strings where? Al kanfei v'gdehem l'dorotam. On the corners of your garments forever. Okay, the Torah is saying it is an obligation to put strings on the corners of your garments. That's the pasuk. And then vinatnu al tzitzit hakanaf pesil techelet. And you should also put on the corner tchelet. Tchelet is a color, right? Tchelet is sky blue, however you want to describe it. There are in this pasuk two separate mitzvot, in theory. One is the strings, which we refer to in halacha as the lavan, because strings are white. The other mitzvah is tchelet, which is blue. Okay? We'll have to talk about, although we don't find it that interesting, the Rambam is very interested in why this is not. The Rambam counts it as one mitzvah. The mitzvah of tzitzit and tchelet as one. And the Rambam himself plays with the possibility and is bothered by the fact that it could very well be that there are two separate mitzvot. One is to wear tzitzit. Separate is to wear strings that are made out of tchelet. Okay? But just to finish the psukim, v'haya lachem letzitzit, they'll be tzitzit. Here's the point. Uri item oto, you'll see them. Uzichartem et kol mitzvot Hashem va'asitem otam. And by seeing them, you'll remember all of the mitzvot that Hashem commanded you, and you will do them. Not only that, v'lo tatur acharei levavchem va'acharei nechem asher etem zunim acharem. And then you won't stray after your heart and after your eyes, which God gives you to stray with, or that are given to straying. Okay? So here you have it. There aren't that many mitzvahs in the Torah that the Torah gives you the reason. Right? Here the reason is given in the Torah. Why do you wear tzitzit? So you should see them, and you should remember all of the mitzvot. And then by remembering all of the mitzvot, you will therefore not sin. Okay? Just one second. And again, you could argue it either way. You could say, God told you arbitrarily to put tzitzit on your garments, and once God told you that, it will serve as a reminder. Or you could claim that it serves inherently as a reminder because the gematria and the colors and all these inherent things, you know, it wouldn't matter to me either way. Just like, by the way, tefillin, except we're used to them, but if you look at tefillin, there's nothing particularly inspiring about wearing tefillin. Okay, we know they have the parshiot of, you know, the key parshiot in the Torah in them, but their importance lies more in the fact that God commanded us to wear them than in terms of exactly what they are. That's not to say it's not worthwhile trying to find greater meaning in them, but all I'm saying is it's meaning enough that God said, put strings on, and when you see the strings, you'll remember.
But
yeah. Go ahead. No.
If we go along with the Rambam, making it one mitzvah,
yeah,
then the Tehillah presents a problem which was not solved until very recently.
So therefore, if at all.
Some people feel that it has been solved.
Correct.
But if it's one mitzvah, then we weren't observing it.
Excellent. The Rambam deals with that. I will bring up that point later because the Rambam is all over your point. He's bothered by your issue.
When the Torah goes out of its way to say the reason is so you'll see them, I always thought this is a rationale for why we really should see them and have them out. And maybe we're keeping them in for other cultural or reasons to do with the non-Jews.
It may very well be. 100 years ago, no one wore that tzitzis out.
They didn't.
Only Hasidim wore that tzitzis out. You're absolutely right that it seems funny. The pasuk says you should see them. There's a discussion in poskim about what's appropriate and what's not, and what's showing off and what's not. You know, it could be that in the course, just like it's intuitive to you that there are things you do during the course of the day that you don't want to wear tefillin when you do, right? Because it seems inappropriate. You could make that same argument about tzitzis, although it's weaker because the halacha is clear. You're allowed to wear tzitzis into the bathroom. If you're allowed to wear tzitzis into the bathroom, in fact, interesting halacha, but it's a useful one. On a weekday, sorry, this doesn't apply to you. On a weekday, you're davening, you have your tefillin on, you have to go to the bathroom. The halacha is you have to take off your tefillin. And because the halacha is you have to take off your tefillin, when you put them back on, you have to make a new bracha, because it was a hefsek. You have to go to the bathroom, you take off your talis. The halacha is you're allowed to wear a talis in the bathroom. We think it's disrespectful, but you're allowed to. As a result of which, if you have in mind when you put on your talis that you're going to wear it for all of davening, no matter what happens, you don't have to make another bracha when you come out of the bathroom on your talis.
What if you do make a bracha?
Huh?
What if you do make
you
a
shouldn't. It
you
might
shouldn't.
Be, it so might so be so. A bracha levatal.
Because I've heard differently that every time you put on your talis, you should be making a bracha on it. Every time you put it on.
Well, so it's a question of how it came off, as an aside, but it's just related anyway. Bizarrely, some poskim say if your talis falls off, you have to make a new bracha. Because it constitutes, it just falls off. You know, and that happens sometimes in shul. right? Usually a kid or an annoying person next to you is walking, right? You know, drags your talis, gone. Because it's off you and you didn't have any kavana. Whereas strangely, if you have in mind that you're going to take it off and put it back on again, then you don't have to make another bracha. That's more or less the accepted halacha. Okay, so it's not the case. It could be that, I don't know, you know, if you took a shower and you put it back on, you couldn't have worn it, but more or less that's the accepted halacha. Okay? Let's get to the Rambam.
And a Jew wants to wear it. Can she make a bracha, or do women not make brachot on things that is a question about?
Right. Women, generally speaking, don't make brachot. We'll come to tzitzis and women, and I think. First, let's do the Rambam, where we always start. This is the 14th mitzvah in the Rambam. The Rambam says, Va'mitzvah hayudalit, he shet sivanu la'asot tzitzit. So right away, that's low. That, what? Excellent. Yeah, so that's a low. What's the problem?
It doesn't seem to be in it. It's
laughing. What? It says, right, the Rambam says to make tzitzis, and everybody asks your question, which is, that's not the mitzvah, is it? Right? Is the mitzvah to make tzitzis, or is the mitzvah to wear tzitzis?
Shot level, it says to make.
It says va'asu lahem tzitzit, right?
Put the tzitzit in the bag.
Okay, so most achronim try to find a way to say the Rambam wrote it in Arabic, and maybe it didn't mean exactly that. And also, the problem is, how would you write it? What's the mitzvah? So you would say va'mitzvah yudalet he shet zivano lilvosh tzitzit.
Well,
but that's also not true.
Right, but if you
wait, that's also not true. Because it's not. All I'm saying is, it's not so, because maybe it's as Bruce wants to say over and over again, and eventually he'll say it, and he'll be right. It may not be the case that you have to wear a four cornered garment. What you're really saying is, it should have said, "Va'mitzvah yudal hishet zivanu kishe anachnu lovshim beged shel dalit knafot." But that's very wordy.
I was just going
to
say,
why can't we, if we look at lasot as sort of to do as opposed to make, because it has a broad meaning.
Okay, nice.
Then, because it has several components, what he's saying is to do the mitzvah of tzitzit, and I'll define what those pieces are in a minute.
Excellent. That's the lovely pshat, that he doesn't mean making tzitzit, he means doing the mitzvah of tzitzit, which is made up of a whole bunch of parts. I like that very much.
He puts his best students closer to him.
Okay. Okay, by the way, it's nice, it's doubly nice, because it also helps with the pasuk. Va'asu lahem tzitzit means do the stuff you have to do to be mekayim in the mitzvah of tzitzis, as opposed to make tzitzis. It is, what?
The man who just came in, Yossi David, just had a baby girl.
Oh,
mazel tov.
It looks like he's bringing some stuff in.
A baby girl.
Did you name her yet?
She doesn't have to worry about
tzitzit. She doesn't worry about
tzitzit. Well, we'll get there. We'll get there.
No.
Are we allowed to?
You have to know which day to come in, Elliot.
This is very exciting. You know, we would like learn. She doesn't have a name. Like we could learn, you know, for the zchus of the new.
We're waiting for
the tinoket.
I mean, if you have any ideas, Purim,
how about Esther?
Wait, Parshat Shavuot, Mishkanit.
I wouldn't do Zerah.
Sounds like a children.
Or Vashti.
Not Jewish name.
Excellent, Bruce. Excellent. You're all over it.
We have the Rakia.
You do what?
We have a rakia.
Do you really?
Oh.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, it's a rock and roll right here.
Okay, we're going to go on. Despite everybody's best efforts to distract me, we're going to go on. Now, v'hu amaro yitales, says the Rambam in the first line, v'asu lahem tzitzit, v'natnu al tzitzit ha'kanaf pesil techelet. Okay, now, here's your point. Says the Rambam, "V'lo timne b'shtei mitzvot." We do not count this as two mitzvot, and I'll fill in words for the Rambam. Even though we count tefillin as two mitzvot, we don't count tcheles and lavan as two mitzvot. Afal pi shehashoresh etzleinu, even though the rule is hatchelet eina ma'akevet et halavan, v'halavan eino ma'akev et hatchelet. Right, but here's the interesting thing. Normally, the Rambam's rule is, when one thing is not ma'akev another, they're two separate mitzvot. When one thing is ma'akev the other, then they're one mitzvah. For example, to take a lulav without an esrog is to do nothing. So the esrog is ma'akev the lulav is ma'akev the esrog, means one mitzvah of dal and minin. But tefillin shel yad is not ma'akev tefillin shel rosh. Tefillin shel rosh is not ma'akev tefillin shel yad, so it's two mitzvot. Says the Rambam, the Gemara is clear that you can wear lavan without tchelet, as most of us have done our whole lives, and you can wear tchelet without lavan, which should mean that they're two separate mitzvot.
Wear tchelet without lavan.
You can. All your strings could be tcheles.
So what are you wearing the tchelet on?
Huh? No, no, lavan is the strings.
The strings.
Not the baguette.
I understand. So
you don't have any white strings. The only thing you have in your house, you have this four-corner garment, the only thing you have in your house are tchelet strings.
Yeah.
So you can wear tchelet without the lavan.
And I'm
and you mekayim, yes. You mekayim the mitzvah of tchelet, whatever that is.
Yeah.
Some form of the mitzvah of tzitzis. So they're not ma'akiv each other, right? But he says, nevertheless, third line towards the end, la'amram b'sifrei, the sifrei says, again, sifrei is almost Mishnah, yachol shehen shtei mitzvot, mitzvah tchelet u mitzvah lavan. I might have thought there are two separate mitzvot. Talmud Lomar, thank you. Talmud Lomar, v'haya lachem litzitzit, mitzvah achati ve'ena shtei mitzvot. So the Sifrei says it's gzeres hakasuv. V'haya lachem litzitzit is singular, and it means to tell you that even though each one can exist on its own, there were only one mitzvah. Gzeres hakasuv. So it's an exception to the rule. Again, the rule in the Rambam is, thank you. The rule in the Rambam is that when you have two concepts that are not ma'akev each other, meaning each one exists independently, they should be counted as two separate mitzvot, like tefillin shel rosh, tefillin shel yad. The answer is here: the gzeres hakosuv, that the pasuk includes them both together when it says va'yalachem letzitzit. Both of these concepts together equal one. Therefore, even though you can do one without the other, they're only counted as one mitzvah. Okay, fine.
How would you say it plural?
Huh?
How would you say it plural? I mean, you said because it says written in singular, how else could you
say Vehayu lachem letzitzit. Vehaya is singular. Vehayu is plural.
The verb goes on what?
It would, Vehayu lachem letzitzit would mean these things, namely chelet and lavan, are tzitzis. But it says Vehaya, that's how I understand it. Now,
so someone can have a tzitzis and just a chelet?
No one does it.
I know.
It never.
Because of the expense or...
No, because they had to be white at some point. All tcheles started out as lavan.
Right.
The way you make tcheles is you dye it. So it's just not going to happen that you're going to...
And it was an expense thing, too.
No.
Yeah, for sure. Now, let's just get to the women part here, in honor of the new baby. Last full line. V'zot ein ha-nashim chayavot ba, kima shehitba'er b'tchilat gmar kiddushin. Women are not chayavot in the mitzvah of tzitzis. Now, we'll come to an explanation for why. Normally, what's the rule? Normally, women, we think otherwise, but it's not true. Women and men have the same Torah. Okay? And women and men, yeah, sorry to upset anybody. And women and men are mechuyavot and mechuyavim in the same mitzvah, except for one rule. What's the one rule?
Called the time-bound mitzvah.
Mitzvot asei she'azman grama, positive commandments that are time-bound.
And where does that come from?
Huh?
Is
that a limud in the Gemara. Maybe it's probably halacha l'moshe misinai. But let's just be clear. How many are there? I've asked this before.
Yeah,
how many are there? There are 14 mitzvot asei she'azman grama out of 613. So the idea that now, to be fair, they are more high profile. Right? Shofar, lulav, sukkah. There are more high profile because you'd have to do with chagim, but there's still very few of them. Okay? Now, let's ask the question, why would women be pturos from tzitzis? What would the normal answer be?
Because
there are mitzvahs asei shezman grama. Because the mitzvah is not at night. Therefore, they become a time bound mitzvah. But let's see what we get to. Okay? We've seen the Rambam. What we saw in the Rambam was a strange phrasing of la'asot tzitzit, which we have cleverly answered to mean be involved in the mitzvah of tzitzis. We've seen in the Rambam that he would have counted them as two mitzvot, two separate mitzvot, tchelet and lavan, but the Sifrei says count them only as one, so it's an exception to the rule. Let's see what the Chinuch does with this. Number three. The Chinuch says, and the Chinuch is much more like what Mr. Weiser would have written. He says, what's the mitzvah? Lehatil tzitzit bebeged shenit kasebo. It's still bad, but it's better. The mitzvah is to put tzitzit on a beged that we're going to cover ourselves with. So here too, it sounds like it's actually putting the tzitzis, you know, the strings into the beged that constitutes the mitzvah. Shenema ba'asu lahem tzitzit. Now he says, v'zeha chiyuv, now we're getting someplace. V'zeha chiyuv hu kishi yihye lebeged arba'a kinafayim or kinafim o yoter. You only have to do this. You don't have to do this on any shirt. You don't have to do this on your pants. You don't have to do this on a coat. You have to do it on a beged that has four or more corners. Dichsiv al arba kanfot kisutcha, because the pasuk is clear that it's put on the four corners of your garment. Go ahead.
And maybe it's dressed. A lot of people in their suits, depending on how they're cut in the back. Is that, if it becomes four corners, is that considered then under the halakha?
He will be known from Alon Shultz. He had his one tailored, the slit is much longer, and he has his good chelet on his Shabbat suit.
It is absolutely the truth, the case, that we paskin that normal slits don't make it into four corners. But if you're worried about it, Rabbi Yol isn't the kind of person who's worried about it. He wants to do the mitzvah as he thinks the mitzvah should be. And so he has the slit brought higher up, so it's clear that there are four separate parts of his suit jacket, and he puts tzitzis on them.
And if you have something with sort of six corners, depending on how it's made,
then you have to put you have to put four on of the six. You try to get... Now, it happens more often than we would think, and maybe we'll get this point also. Sometimes we really do wear four-cornered garments, and we don't think about it. Like
scarf,
blanket. To me, a rain poncho. Right, you go someplace. The four corner rain ponchos are without a doubt chayavim in tzitzis, except they're not. Why? Because they're not made out of a real. They're made out of synthetic. They're made out of plastic. As we'll see in a second, the Torah only recognized natural fibers.
I'll put a Mexican poncho there.
Excellent. So if you have a wool poncho, you are chayv and tzitzis mida oraisa, and to wear it without tzitzis is a bitul mitzvah saseh.
No, I know. So they specifically, they have the wool or whatever it is, poncho style, that they put tzitzit on. That's their sort of daily...
And I think that's fantastic. The question of blankets are four corners. This is an interesting thing.
Yeah, blankets are four corners.
Blankets are four corners. So,
I know the veteran event on March of the Dead. That march. That was the wrap-up. The revenant blankets.
Mm-hmm. The Israeli flag. The rabbi flag.
No, he's talking about the real one.
It took up a little bit in this. Because otherwise, it would.
Right, you can, by the way.
By the way, everyone said, 2 days later, he was killed.
When you say the Torah recognizes natural fibers, you mean like stuff like wool and stuff that you make from plants?
Wool and linen. That's the whole game in the Torah.
But we were polyester. We were polyester. Synthetic.
Yeah, or rayon or something. There's one that they sell in the stores here.
Okay. We'll go out of order. It doesn't matter. When Rav Moshe Feinstein passed away, I was in yeshiva 30-something years ago, and Rav Lichtenstein gave a hesped for him. And he said, if you want to know the power of Rav Moshe as the decisor of law in America, when Rav Moshe's tshuva came out that said you're not allowed to wear synthetic, that synthetic tzitzis don't count, and that's how he paskined.
Wait, synthetic tzitzis or synthetic the materials beged, with tzitzis?
The beged. If it's synthetic, it's not a beged that's chayiv in tzitzis. So, you know, Ravine's point was there was a run on cotton tzitzis. You couldn't find cotton tzitzis in New York because everybody went out. You know, in those days, it wasn't like he issued the tshuva by internet. When the book came out and people discovered it. But that's, when I grew up, that was the accepted position. Moshe Feinstein said that synthetics are not chayav in tzitzis. To wear, for you know, what we used to call air-conditioned tzitzis when you were a little kid, you know, those with the holes in them. So it wasn't the holes, it was the fact that they were made out of rayon or whatever. And he said those weren't chayav in tzitzis min haTorah. So why would you go out of your way? The whole reason why people are makbid to wear wool tzitzis is because only linen and wool existed in the Torah. Shatness is only linen and wool. It was the only stuff. Big day kahuna are linen and wool. That's all they had. Cotton came later in the 1700s.
Well, the Egyptians had cotton.
Okay. Really?
Yeah.
That kind of ruins it. They had cotton before the Torah or after?
Doesn't sound illegal.
All I know is cotton comes from
Egypt. Okay, I'm quite sure it was later. Most people say it's a natural fiber, and so it's chayv and tzitzis. But the chumrah to wear wool is not like some kind of silly chumrah. It's because if you want to be sure that the beged you're wearing is chayv and tzitzis.
Well, is there a heter for the synthetic? Because many people wear them. They get brought from them.
Yeah, so how did we get, and I know it's an aside, from that they're not allowed, synthetics are not required to, that.
So Rav Moshe Feinstein,
half of their
So Rav Moshe Feinstein said that you shouldn't make a bracha on it. I'm sure somebody else says you can.
Okay.
For me, the way I think is as follows: if I'm going to wear it, I might as well wear one that I'm sure is chayav and tzitzis. By the way, here's a big secret: I wear wool, breathes. You don't notice it after a while. Like the whole idea, oh, you're wearing wool, you know, you're going to be sweating like crazy. No. It's not doing, and it makes me feel very religious. I get the ones that have white racing stripes, so I don't look too frum. Also, because when I work, no,
I'm very comfortable.
Don't look.
Mm-hmm. Okay, gotcha.
So they don't show through your shirt. So if you don't want to, if you're self conscious about not, you know, like I'm very religious. Obviously, I don't like people to know.
Aren't the ones that have holes in it holy?
No, I don't think so. I think it's only the bagels. But good try. Anyway.
You take them out in yeshiva.
Huh? Just what I want to show off. Okay, anyway. And in the winter, it's great. You should consider it. Okay, next paragraph, number 3. Shoresh ha-mitzvah nigla ba-katuv. Says the chinuch, the reason, the rationale for this mitzvah, it's already in the pasuk. Shehi lema'an nizkar kol mitzvot Hashem tamid. The point is to remember all of the mitzvot of God all the time. Ve'ein davar ba'olam, the chinuch was an amateur psychologist. Ve'ein davar ba'olam yoter tov lezikaron, kimo nosei chotam adonav kavua biksuto, ashe yichase bo tamid. Nothing is a better reminder of God and the Torah than to literally to carry the seal of God on your clothing all the time. The seal of God is what he says, is the strings. Ve'einav v'libo alav kol hayom. And every time you see them, and every time you think about them, you'll be reminded of God. V'zeu she'ne'emar bo ba'katuv u'zichartem et kol mitzvot Hashem. Just to be clear, it's self-evident. Yarmulke pales in comparison to tzitzis.
Well,
yeah.
Depends. We see other people with yarmulkes, and that reminds us. Or
no, that's great. What I'm saying is, it's not one of the Tariag mitzvahs. It doesn't exist.
But I'm saying as a reminder, for example, I mean,
right,
I'm so used to wearing a kippah. I wear it in the shower sometimes. I've gone in swimming. I forget I have it
okay.
on. Right? Because I don't see it.
Right.
Okay, the same with tzitzit when they're tucked in all the time. How often, I mean, it's nice the way he phrases it, when you think about it
right.
or when you see it.
Right.
Right. But how often, if it's tucked in all the time, are you aware that you're wearing the badge of God or whatever you want to call it?
Yes. But it's not a mitzvah d'oraisa. But it's not a mitzvah d'oraisa. What I'm saying is, you know, I think most people would sooner take off their tzitzis than their yarmulkes. I'm saying that, you know, it's in the summer or something, whatever, you know, you don't feel like. All I'm saying is, that's not really the halacha. And here we get to a point we've touched on before, and it's one of the most fascinating points, which is, even if you're right that seeing a yarmulke is more of a reminder of God than tzitzis, to be part of our religion is to sort of buy into the structure, even when, let's face it, we could all make up better ideas for how we can remind ourselves of God's presence in our lives than tzitzis. There's an infinite, you know, every 5 minutes we'll say one pasuk. We could all think of one, but we don't do it. Because part of being religious is buying into a certain, you know, we could certainly find ways of celebrating the Exodus better than eating matzah. There are movies we could watch that really would, you know, you don't cry. Maybe you cry when you eat maror, but you don't cry when you eat matzah. And, you know, but sometimes you watch a movie about the Exodus and it's so, you know, it really moves you. But that's not the way the halacha requires us to recall it. Okay,
back.
Sure.
Didn't we discuss that tefillin that you don't want to wear tefillin all the time because you don't want to be too familiar?
I suggested, right.
Right. Well, this is opposite.
It's opposite, except it could be that tzitzis is on a lower level and therefore it's the kind of, again, you could never wear tzitzis. No one would eat with tefillin on. No one would go to the bathroom with tefillin on. Nobody would do, but you can do it with tzitzis. And if we wanted to be fancy about it, and I think we can be, you could look at Talmud Torah, tefillin, tzitzis, and the next week mezuzah as being different levels of reminders of God, some of which can be reminders of God even in a profane setting, some of them just in a mundane setting, going into your house when you're learning Torah, you're obviously in a particular state of mind, you're not in the bathroom, you're not doing something inappropriate, and tefillin, you know, it could be that God laid out a range of reminders that are appropriate at different levels of observance and different levels of being religious.
Do we want to be reminded of God in a profane setting? Because I thought there was even, that's when a book of geometry was written.
I think the answer's got to be yes, but appropriately. There's a Yerushalmi that, there are halachos about the bathroom. So now you'll say to yourself, but I'm not allowed to think of the halachos in the bathroom. So Yerushalmi says, of course you could think of the halachos in the bathroom. I think God is with us all the time, and it has to be appropriate. So, you know, to think about God, to sit down on the toilet, I'm sorry about that, and think about God is probably inappropriate. But to think that God doesn't exist in the toilet is also inappropriate. So you have to, you have to feel your way through it. Yeah.
There is a Gemara story with Tatan Omar, somewhere that he shouldn't have been. And when his tzitzis were out and slapped him in the face when he was climbing in there. I didn't want to say anything. So the tzitzis reminded
him. I saw that movie.
So the tzitzis,
nice to have cable TV.
The tzitzis reminded him and he got up and left. Right. I think he gets the girl in the end because she's so impressed.
Shut up.
But,
all right.
Which, hard to know what message now to get.
When he died right after.
No, that's a different Gemara.
Okay.
That's the same story. Maybe it's him, right?
Here we go. Third line in the second paragraph of number 3, towards the end. Va'amru zichronam livracha. The Medrash says, Ki milat tzitzit tirmoz letayag mitzvot. The word tzitzit reminds us or hints at the 613 mitzvot. How much is tzitzit?
611.
611.
No, it's not.
Oh, 606?
Huh?
Round them. Oh, 600?
It's 600.
Right.
Sadi is 90,
right?
No.
Yeah,
90, 10,
400. Although the Torah doesn't use the section.
90, 10, 90, 10. So it's 600. Now, why does it hint to Taryag? Im tseiruv shmona chutin. There are 8 strings on each corner of your baget. That's 608. Shebetzitzit. V'chamisha ksharim shebo. And every corner has 5 knots. Yeah, I said at the beginning, you know, take it or leave it. I think this is reverse engineering. Va'od omer li libi. The Chinuch says, my heart tells me, sheyesh bo remez v'zikaron shegufo shel adam v'nafsho hakol Hashem baruch hu. He has a whole idea here. Ki ha'lavan remez leguf shehu min ha'aretz shenivret min ha'shelek shehu lavan. Basically, the Chinuch has a long piece here where he thinks white and blue represent the human body. And then how the body is formed with little white thingies at the beginning, and then they grow into a person, and I don't know. Let's face it, there were a lot of nice things you could say about how tzitzis reminds us of the human body, and of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and tcheles in particular. Now, bottom paragraph.
Yeah. Question about the word tzitzis. The word tzitzis, is that a unique word? Other than tzitz of the Kohen Gadol?
I think it means a string.
Do we use that word as a string?
Tzitz Nezer HaKodesh is the band of, yeah, I think so. I mean, in Hebrew, in modern Hebrew, do we call
it? No.
flowers and grass.
Yeah?
Tzitzim uflachim. It's like
a string in Mount Hebrew is a chod.
Right. Yeah, so fringes, like the...
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Those are the fringe benefits of being Jewish.
No, but I was thinking that tzitzis is some kind of reminder. They call it the word tzitzis.
Yeah.
And it's the same word that maybe for everybody else, tzitzit, you know, could take on a similar kind of role in tzitzis.
Okay. Now, everybody pay attention here, even if you're taking a picture.
Right.
V'noheget, here's very important. V'noheget mitzvah zo bizicharim, b'chol makom v'chol zman. The mitzvah applies to males. He says all times, all places. Avalo bikevot. But not to females. But here it is. Ve'im ratzu hanikevot lehitatev, mit atfot below bracha. The chinuch says if women want to wear tzitzis, they can. But they should do it without a bracha. Kidat kitzatam afarshim. Ukitzatam amru afilu bibracha. And some say women can make a bracha. Va'over alzeh v'lavash be. Now, what's the definition? Va'over alzeh v'lavash beged semer opishtim gadol kishiyur shamarnu. Let's say you wore a Mexican poncho. You're big, it's clearly a garment without tzitzis. V'hu shelo, and it belongs to you. V'lo hitil bo tzitzit, then and only then bitel mitzvat aseh. Wearing a four-cornered garment without tzitzit is a bitul mitzvah aseh min haTorah. V'hu v'imhu shel sha'ar minin bitel mitzvah midrabanan. If it's not made of wool or linen, then you're only mevatel mitzvah midrabanan. Again, this is another push to wear wool tzitzis. Because he says, garments that are not made of wool or linen are only chayv and tzitzis midrabanan. Okay, they're still chayv and tzitzis. It's still a nice thing to do, but otherwise you could do it midoraisa. Yeah.
The women of the wall who wore tzitzit.
Not interested.
No. I mean, they have something to go by.
They have something to go by. You have to ask that. You know, you have to ask them why they're doing it, and maybe we'll get to whether it's still the same nowadays. Because some of this evolves over time, but
is v'hushalo important? It's not your beged.
Yes, you can't be yotze the mitzvah. You're not chayv the mitzvah insists in somebody else's beged. For example, you can't borrow a talis from somebody and be yotze the mitzvah. He has to be makne it to you. So shul talisim are understood to belong to everybody. So if you get an aliyah and you pick up a talis from the shul, you're supposed to make a bracha on it. If you're not wearing a talis for whatever reason, you're supposed to make a bracha on it. Huh?
Yes, you're supposed to make a bracha because it's just your part of the shul.
But if you go up, if you're a kohen and you don't have a talis and you grab somebody else's talis, you can't make a bracha on it.
We don't.
It's not your talis.
I'm just saying. Temporary.
Okay, fine. But the bottom line is, if you wanted to get out of, if you borrowed somebody's poncho, if you borrowed somebody's Mexican whatever, you don't have to put tzitzis on.
Your brother swapped with you the tzitzis, so you're on purpose by accident. You wouldn't make a bracha.
If it's not yours, if it's your brother, so then you could call him up and steal it from But yeah, it's
There's
only.
Also, I think the rule when you it snaps off one of the tzitzis.
Yeah.
Then you take them off quickly.
Well, because you're wearing a four-cornered garment without tzitzis. That's a bitul mitzvah saseh min haTorah.
Not one string necessarily.
If you borrow your wife's poncho without getting into the yilbash.
Oh, I would assume that you're chayv in tzitzis because you and your wife are halachically almost one person.
Same account.
I would, yeah. I would be worried about that case. By the way, if you want to get out of it, and this is what Mr. Weiser said, this is the accepted halacha. If you want to get out of it, you could sew up a corner of your poncho. You could cut it off, but people don't want to cut it off. So long as it's permanent,
make it
diagonal.
Because otherwise, if you make it diagonal, you've just made five corners now, in a sense.
Right. I suppose at some point it's not really a corner. Maybe you're right. There are ways to, I know this from a person who sews up a corner of his blanket, which is really annoying because it's always probably that's where your feet are. So we don't hold that way. If it was me, that would always be where my foot went. It would bother me.
If you work at night, you're a guard. You do guard duty at night and you sleep in the daytime.
Right.
So if it's a beged yom. It's a.
I don't think you could turn a blanket. I think we hold. You can't turn a blanket into a beged yom. You could turn your pajamas into a beged yom. right? A person who works at night and sleeps during the day, his pajamas are not, you know, we're not really going to have time to talk about that, but it's only Beged Laila, not Chai Tzitzis. So in theory, I don't know if you had a four-cornered, you know, schluff garment that you used at night.
It was regular tzitzis. You shouldn't wear them at night, really.
I don't know that it's, you shouldn't, but the question is, if you have a four-cornered garment that you sleep in, it could be that it's not chayiv in tzitzis because it's a beged laila, even though it has four corners. Mm-hmm. Let's do some halacha. Here we go. Number four. The Shulchan Aruch says as follows. Ein chayav b'tzitzit min ha-Torah ela beged pishtim o shel tzemer rechelim. That's what I said. Min ha-Torah, the only things that are chayiv in tzitzis are linen or wool. Aval bigdei shar minin einan chayavin b'tzitzit ela midrabanan. But other fabrics are only chayav midrabanan. So again, other fabrics meaning cotton. The Shulchan Aruch never saw polyester. And it's like he never saw a
not leather?
Huh?
Leather?
Leather is a closer call because leather is natural.
And silk?
Silk also.
Silk is a natural?
Right. I think silk would be chayav midrabanan, maybe not d'oraisa. I never know that. Is silk and linen really different? I guess, yeah.
Sure. Oh, linen is from a plant, and silk is the fibers of the silkworm, the cocoon.
Okay. Okay. I don't wear a lot of silk. Although, when I was a kid, like, people who weren't that religious wore those kind of silk.
Yeah. How did that come? How did that become such a minhag?
I don't know, but it's funny, right? They wore like the shawl, you know, the silk shawl.
Fringe.
First of all, I think it slides off too easily. Like, why would you do that? I like the non-stick wool, or the stick wool that doesn't fall off your shoulders all the time. Like, it's much more comfortable to wear.
In the summertime, is it a bit?
It breathes. Wool breathes.
Yeah.
It's a natural fiber. I don't want to sound like I'm from the Wool Council of America, but...
You wear the wool all year round.
Yeah, I wear the wool all year round.
You do?
Yeah.
You actually,
I love it.
Judaica shop up at Tiana, they also offer, I guess, a loose-knit wool for the summer.
All right. And then he says, V'yesh omrim, good news for everybody, D'kulu chayav midoraisa. V'hachi hilchus ano, that cotton is also chayav midoraisa, and all natural fibers are chayav midoraisa. So now... The wool thing is just a chumrah. The Mishnah, the Shulchan Aruch says you're okay wearing cotton.
Can you wear the tzitzis on a bare body?
Yes, you can. In fact,
can.
It makes more sense.
You don't need it on the shirt.
Absolutely not. Because the garment has no kedusha to it whatsoever. The garment is your shirt, the way it was supposed to be. The garment was supposed to be your toga that you wore all day long. It's only the strings that matter. So there's absolutely nothing wrong with wearing tzitzis on your body, because again, what you're wearing on your body is not tzitzis. It's just the hechitimtzis. It's just the excuse for the mitzvah of tzitzis. Okay. Now, look at number five again in the Machaber in Shulchan Aruch. He says, "Yeshe katfu b'shem hazohar dehakorei kriyashma b'lo tzitzit meid edut sheker ba'atzmo." Here's an interesting idea. We have this din with respect to tefillin. We hold that to say Kriyat Shema without tefillin is as if you're testifying falsely. Why? Because you're reading Ukshartem la'ot al yadcha lototavot be'yinecha, and you're not doing it. So therefore, it's offensive, and it's as if you're reading something that you don't believe in. There is an inherent connection between Kriyat Shema and tefillin, which is why, you know, if you could, when you put on tefillin, you want to always make sure you say Kriyat Shema while you're wearing tefillin. The minhag has developed. When I was a kid, it wasn't like this, but now everybody does it. You know how on Tisha B'Av, in the afternoon, before mincha, you put on tefillin and you say Shema? I think the Rav started that whole thing. He said it worked in both directions. That to say Kriyat Shema without tefillin was Eidos Sheker in your saying Kriyat Shema, but to put on tefillin without saying Kriyat Shema was a pagam in your wearing of tefillin, because you weren't saying the parsha associated with it. So that's why we do it on Tisha B'Av, because those two things go together. So, you might have said the same thing with respect to tzitzis, which also appear in Kriyat Shema, that you're not allowed to say Kriyat Shema without tzitzis, and say, on a normal day, you don't have to wear tzitzis if you're not wearing a four-cornered garment, but if you're going to say Shema, and you have to say Shema, then you have to put on tzitzis. As is the Shulchan Aruch, it's not true. It's not true. Second line, U'bigmar b'brachos yudalam and beis, Amru ze b'tfilin v'lo b'tzitzis. It's true about tefillin. It's not true about tzitzis. D'bishlema b'tfilin. Sha'omer ukshar tam la'ot al yadcha ve'ein alav hakesher. That's false testimony. Aval tzitzis, with respect to tzitzis, nehi sha'omer. Since he's saying parshas tzitzis ve'ein alav hatzitzis, but he's not wearing tzitzis, mikal makom, harei achiyuv eino ela kishiyesh alav beged bat dalet knafot. The mitzvah of tefillin is unconditional. You have to wear tefillin every day. So to read the parsha of tefillin and not wear tefillin is to testify falsely.
Well, that's like someone but, like in Kiddush,
but with respect to tzitzis, all you're reading is a statement that says if you're wearing a four-cornered garment, you have to put tzitzis on it. So if you happen to be reading that statement while you're not wearing a four-cornered garment, it doesn't constitute false testimony. It's not a great thing. But here you see the din, and the din really is that the chiyuv of tzitzis only applies when you're wearing a four-cornered garment. If you're not wearing a four-cornered garment, you are patur in the mitzvah of tzitzis, and therefore the mitzvah of tzitzis falls into the category of mitzvos that we think of as being conditional. For example, next week we'll see, no house, no chiyuv of mezuzah. You're not mevatel the mitzvah of mezuzah, you just don't have that mitzvah. You don't have a porch from which people can fall off. You don't have to put a makkah around your porch. It's a conditional mitzvah, right? You don't want to divorce your wife. You don't have to. It's a conditional mitzvah. So same thing here. Tzitzis, technically speaking, is a conditional mitzvah. Nevertheless, Se'if Beis in number 5 says the Mechaber, Va'af al gav shemi'ikar hadin kainhu. Even though that's really the din, that you don't have to wear tzitzis, mi kol makom, nevertheless, yizaher kol ish Yisrael laseit alav talit katan bitzitzit kol ayom. Nevertheless, everybody should take it upon themselves to wear, you know, talit katan, what we call tzitzis, every day. Dishkula mitzvah tzitzit kechol ha-mitzvot. Because they are equivalent, because tzitzis is considered to be like all the mitzvot. You'll see them, you'll remember all the mitzvot Hashem, and then a very, very strange line from the Gemara. The Gemara says, "Ubeidan rischa, at the time of anger, on shin al zemin hashamayim." The Gemara says a very interesting thing. You get up in the morning, you're not chayav to wear tzitzis. It's only if you're wearing a four-cornered garment that you're chayav to wear tzitzis. But be'idan rischa, when God gets angry for some other reason, He's going to get angry at us also for not wearing tzitzis. That's the Gemara. It's not a halachic statement, but it's, you know, that tzitzis stands for, I would say, it's tzitzis stands for something extra halachic. It's true. You could go your whole life nowadays without wearing a four-cornered garment, without wearing tzitzis. But somehow it matters. The Gemara says somehow it matters. Now it's very important to it's important to know the following. You know, we think sometimes about how halacha develops in different ways. It is the case that back then garments were four cornered. That's what people wore. And at some point when people stopped wearing four cornered garments, Chazal were up against it, meaning everybody stopped wearing tzitzis. The idea of artificially wearing tzitzis is not such a simple thing. You know, who says that you can fake it? Maybe the garment that I'm wearing under my shirt isn't really a garment because I'm just doing it for the mitzvah. It was a bit of a chiddush to do it that way. I think it explains, if we have time we'll talk about it for just a second, I think it explains the difference between tzitzis and talis. Most married people, before you get married, you make a bracha on your tzitzis every morning. After you start wearing a talis, generally the minhag is you don't make a bracha on your tzitzis, you just make a bracha on your talis. My understanding is that's the case because a talis is really a garment. Right? You know, you got it draped all over you, it's obvious that that's a garment, whereas the thing you're wearing even over your shirt, it seems kind of artificial.
But they're different brachot.
Yeah, but how many do you make?
I say
both. Oh, you say both, okay.
Except that I don't know for sure. I was told that in the Gemara, there's nothing, the brachot that's made over the tzitzit katan doesn't exist in the Gemara, and that there's those that paskin that you should make, when you put that on, you should make the normal tzitzit, you know, the tzitzatev.
Right, but most people are not mitatef. To be mitatef in your tzitzis means to be able to wrap them around your head. Now, maybe you should.
Well, when you're putting it over your whole body like a poncho, aren't you sort of wrapping it around? I mean, you've defined it to wrap around your head, but in the Gemara, that bracha doesn't exist, on mitzvah tzitzit.
Okay, I think that this conversation is the answer to one of the most interesting things. Generally speaking, when you become bar mitzvah, you do every mitzvah, you become chayv in every mitzvah in the Torah, right? There's nothing you could think of. I only take a lulav when I get married.
You're also responsible for anything thereof.
Yes, but we, for some reason, most of us have a minhag of not wearing a talis till we get married.
Except for German.
Yes. But what's why? So one answer is, it's interesting. One answer is they were just very expensive at some point, and so you're making a wedding, so you throw in some extra bucks for the talis. But otherwise, it was too expensive. But it's rare that something that constitutes a halachic requirement should only start at 20. The answer is clearly talis is not a halachic requirement. It's just a greater kiyum of the mitzvah of tzitzis. Now, why wedding? I have to just show you this. It's great. You'll love this. Look at the last source, and then we'll come back. Finish what we do. Number 8. The Divrei Yatziv, the Kloisenberger Rebbe, says, Hinei natati alibi latur b'tam adavar, v'gam b'ma shenohagu shelo lehitatef b'talit kodam anisuin. He asks, why do people not wear a talis till they get married? And he has a bunch of things, but I just put the one line because it's funny. He says, v'gam kidei levayesh et mi she'en lo sheyizdarez v'yisa isha v'havein. We stop people from wearing a talis till they get married to incentivize them to get married, because they're embarrassed to come to shul and not wear a talis. So we withhold from them the ability. So weird. You imagine, like, I didn't really like her, but I was desperate to wear a talis. I really wanted to wear a talis, so I married her. Seems a little strange. The better one is, a lot of women say to me, a lot of women who are, like, involved in shiduchim, say the talis thing is really good, because you come to shul, you could see who's single on Shabbos day, and you could figure it out. There's a whole sociology to this.
You can do that annual dance, too.
That's for the women. You need for the men.
Well, but the men were supposed to be, right?
Okay. Go back to number 6, very quickly. Great one. Igros Moshe. Bidvar levishat beget shechaya betzitzit, ma'alas kvod bini chavivi marina rav David Feinstein Shlita. Interesting. I always find it interesting when the son writes a letter to his father. I don't know why he just didn't ask him over dinner. But, okay. So he says, Bidvar levishat, this is very interesting. Bidvar levishat beget shechaya betzitzit. Vadai tzadakta, the father of Moshe, says to his son, you're definitely right. Sha'af shemidina leka chiyuv lilbosh beget achayav betzitzis. Mitzad hadin, we are not chayav when we get up in the morning to wear four-cornered garments. Ela she'im lavash beget kazeh over ba'asei imein sham tzitzit. It's just if you're wearing a four-cornered garment and you don't have tzitzis on it, you're mevatel mitzvah saseh. Mikol makom, nevertheless, Kevon shenahagu kol Yisrael lilbosh beget achayav betzitzis. Now that the minhag is that everybody wears a four-cornered garment called tzitzis, asur l'shum adam la'avor al zeh. It is also for a person not to wear tzitzis. De lo gara mikol minhag. It's no worse than any other minhag. Af shaleka b'hu gam kiyum mitzvah shechayavim l'kayim mishum shma b'ni v'al t'to sharati mecha. V'kol shekein minhag zeh sheyesh bo gam kiyum mitzvah. Okay, stop there. He says as follows. He says two things. Mitzad hadin, you're not chayav to wear a four-cornered garment every day. So what they told me when I was in first grade is not true. They said you have to wear tzitzis every day. It's not true. But says Rav Moshe, it became true. Here, you want to talk about development of halacha? Rav Moshe Feinstein says the halacha changed. Once the Jewish people, once the male portion of the Jewish population accepted upon itself to wear a four-cornered garment called tzitzis every day, it became obligatory from two perspectives. One, because it became a binding minhag that we have to observe. And second, he says it's more important than a minhag, because most minhagim don't involve a mitzvah. I have a minhag to bang my Hoshanas on Hoshana Rabbah. It's not a mitzvah, it's a minhag. But here, the minhag brings you to a mitzvah, because wearing a four-cornered garment with tzitzis constitutes a mitzvah. either a mitzvah d'rabbanon or a mitzvah d'oraisa, depending on what it was made out of and how he paskin, but nevertheless it constitutes a mitzvah. So it's very interesting. He basically says, yeah, the halacha changed. 1,000 years ago, if you wore a four-corner garment, you wore tzitzis. If you didn't, you didn't. Now, the din has become otherwise, and the din has become that everybody has to do it. So both things are true.
Do we know historically when that switch
I used was? To know. You can look up, you know, just look up any conversation about clothing, when the move was. In Roman times, everybody wore four-corner garments. At some point, then it moved, and the halacha had to respond to that change in circumstance, where all of a sudden, the way I imagine it, nobody wore tzitzis. And they had to create something that would preserve the mitzvah of tzitzis. Rabbi Avadya Yosef in number 7 says the same thing, although less forcefully, and that's why sometimes you find Sfarim who don't wear tzitzis all the time. B'sikum, he says, Amnam me'ikar hadin ein chiyuv lulbosh talit katan b'meshach kol hayom. There is no requirement to wear tzitzis all day. Mikal makom, nevertheless, ra'oi v'nachon. He says it's appropriate. If you notice, Rav Moshe says chayavin. Rav Avadi says ra'oi v'nachon. It's correct and appropriate. Ma'od. It's very correct and appropriate. Shekal adam yishtadel lekayem mitzvah yikara v'chashuva zo. That everybody try to be mekayem this mitzvah. Hashgula kineged kol ha-mitzvot v'lilbosh talit katan tachat bigadav v'meshach kol hayom. By the way, he says tachat bigadav. Right. He acknowledges the way we do it. I think when you see pictures of Rav Avadya, he did not wear his tzitzis over his shirt. Okay? But this subtle point is a big difference. For Sfardim, wearing tzitzis all day long is not really obligatory. It's a nice minhag that you should do. For Ashkenazim, we kind of have accepted on ourselves that you're supposed to wear tzitzis all day long. Now let's be clear. If you don't wear tzitzis, you're not mevatel a mitzvah saseh. But A, you're not mekayim a mitzvah saseh, and B, you're probably mevatel the minhag that says we should wear four-cornered garments with tzitzis on them. Yes?
Question.
Why don't we stop here? Yeah.
Many Haredim see the long megishah as, you know, not just a minhag, but a din almost.
Okay.
And when you talk with them, that they say, you know, you can't change your garments and so on and so forth. We know historically that this change came about when they were in Poland. The Polish landowners dressed that way. So, and we also know that there were changes. You know, you mentioned the four-cornered garment that everyone wore, and there were changes. Jews always dressed according to, you know, the times, the style.
Right.
So where did this mishigas come from? Yeah, somehow or other,
I don't feel obligated to defend that minhag. I obviously don't wear a long coat.
Really?
I agree with you historically that Polish landowners were the source of it.
That's why.
If many people start wearing tzechelet, will that become a custom also? If more and more wear it?
That's a good question. Yeah. I don't know.
Because more and more are wearing it.
Where we live, more and more are. You go to Meir Sharm, nobody does it.
Well, but on principle, though, I think, right?
It's hard to know. You know, they're against anything new, and they're against recreating, you know.
Well, but they, I no, thought that
thank
they
you,
didn't
really.
Believe,
thank you.
They, in other words, we might
and
think
it was
that
also
we
to Yossi David on his new baby daughter.
We don't know that we have, and so they are on principle.